speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Are there songs in the church hymnal that we sing that we should not sing? If so, which ones and why? To begin with, what is the purpose of singing? Each avenue or act of worship has a purpose. I've identified some things on the PowerPoint for consideration with every act or avenue of worship for tonight. The Lord's Supper, taken into consideration, is a memorial. As we partake of the emblems, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, we are to reflect back to the cross, the things that we read that Christ went through on our behalf, His suffering, and all that this means then as we are blessed to be able to commune around the table as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our giving of our means has a purpose. It goes for the church work. It goes to, in part, pay our salary so that we're able to work with the church on a full-time basis, but then in like figure, it goes for the upkeep of the building, also for missionaries, and for the number of great works that we have going on here at East End. The preaching is given for a purpose, to instruct and to edify as well as to rebuke. Every lesson that comes from God's Word is out there for our instruction, but also to help build us up, even to rebuke us for things that we might be doing wrong, to step on our toes, if you would, from time to time, so that we will correct our lives and walk in a worthy manner. Prayer, I believe, is a collective approach to our God. We are commanded to pray without ceasing. Individually, we need to understand the significance, the importance, if you would, of praying to God each and every day, multiple times throughout the course of the day. And this is a way in which God gives us to personally connect with Him. But in the assembly, whenever we are led in prayer, the prayer leader, if you would, he is directing our minds, our thoughts, in a communication to our Heavenly Father. So collectively, this is a way in which we're able to approach God. Our singing is also given purpose from Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17, Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 19. We are to teach and to admonish one another. We speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Are there songs in our book? Are there songs, I'm going to say, even in other hymnals that would be questionable and songs that could be classified as unscriptural? Yes, there most certainly are some. And I've listed three tonight, and there are others that certainly could we could go over, but three tonight that I want us to think about. To begin with, take your hymn books and open them up to 438. Number 438. Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Years ago, I used to lead singing quite a bit in the church before I became full-time preaching. And this is one of the songs that I used to love to sing. And then the second one on there is also another one that I used to love to sing. And I actually had a preacher point out the fallacy, if you would, in these two hymns that opened my eyes, and I never could look at those songs the same from that point forward. From what I have seen in this hymn, pretty much there is not a whole lot that is unscriptural with regard to the lyrics. However, it is suggestive all the way through of praying to Jesus. And yet, as we read from the Scripture, the Bible identifies to us is that we do not pray to Jesus, but rather we pray through Jesus. He is our mediator. We pray to our Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and following teaches us this, as well as other New Testament passages. And hence now we pray through Christ as our mediator. And Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and following says that the Holy Spirit serves as an intercessor who intercedes on our behalf, conveying our thoughts, if you would, unto our Heavenly Father as we're praying through Jesus Christ. That's the first thought. Go down in verse 1 into the third graph where it says, "And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole." As you look at that, "And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole," the context here of this song has been speaking about, I once was lost in sin, but just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. What does that sound like? To me, it sounds like the sinner's prayer. And the sinner's prayer is not taught in the Scripture. It is faith conjoined with obedience to Christ in baptism that makes us whole. So therefore, in order for this song to be biblically correct, the lyrics would have to be changed as well as the onset as to what is under consideration throughout the entirety of this song. The next one that I have is Jesus is coming soon. Turn in your hymnal to number 433. 433. This song is filled with premillennial concepts throughout. Premillennialism asserts that Jesus Christ came to this world and He meant to establish a physical earthly kingdom, yet God's plans were overthrown whenever the Jews rejected Him. And as a result of that, then, Christ died on the cross, and He set up the church as an interlude, as a kingdom that is not necessarily the ultimate kingdom that He intends to establish. According to what premillennialists believe, is that Jesus Christ is coming again, and that He will step foot upon the face of this earth and establish a physical earthly kingdom. But to begin with, they believe that the saints who are dead will be risen from the grave and raptured away, and saints who are alive also will be raptured away to be caught up with the Lord and taken. And then there will be 7 years of tribulation upon the face of the earth. And at the close of that 7 years of tribulation, then Christ will return again, and at that time establish a physical earthly kingdom and reign over that kingdom for 1,000 years. And then will be the end of the ends, if you would. That's premillennialism in a jest, if you would. Now, premillennialists assert that there are signs that point to the coming of Christ. Note the first bar and verse 1. It says, troublesome times are here, filling man's heart with fear. Sounds like troublesome times, correct? And that's what the writer has under consideration is premillennialism as they wrote or penned these words. Also, they believe that during that 7 years of tribulation, Satan is going to run rampant upon the face of the earth, hence entrapping people and taking away their freedom. They're going to be dictated and governed. You've heard, if you've read much from premillennialism, premillennialist, about the 666 mark of the beast, and how you've got to have that mark in order to be able to buy food and things of that nature. Well, all of that is a part, and that's false, by the way, but all of that is a part of their concepts as to what Satan is going to require of those who are still upon the face of the earth during that time of tribulation. Note going on in this, freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. You see where this plays out. They're playing into that idea is that during the time of tribulation, and tribulation is not taught in the Scripture in regard to premillennial doctrine, but according to what they say, this freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. With the rest of the verses, as far as the main verses itself, 1, 2, and 3, there's not a whole lot that I looked at and saw wrong. I didn't look it all the way through, so if you have things in there that you find, by all means bring it to me and you will enlighten me. But I focused also on some things that I know that are taught in the chorus itself. Go down to the chorus over to the same page that 434 is on. At the very top, I want to point out something that is true. I don't just want to point out the negative. I want to point out the good. All of the dead shall rise. That's true. John chapter 8, or John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. But note what's next. Righteous meet in the sky. That is teaching concerning a rapture. and they are taking out of context 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through verse 18. And verse 17 says, those who are alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That caught up together is what they get hung up on, if you would. And they draw from, not the Greek language, but from the Latin term, which is rapturo. And the word rapturo in the Latin is not even close to what is taught in the original language with what Paul is speaking in reference to as he spoke to the saints in Thessalonica. He's not talking about a rapture, but rather a gathering up of all the dead, not only in Christ, but all who are in the grave will meet the Lord in the air. And then Paul says, all who are alive. He doesn't say the Christians who are alive, but he says, all who are alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. There's no teaching at all in the Scripture about a rapture. Yet this song here indicates that there is a rapture that is to take place when Jesus Christ returns. The next song, and I don't know that we've ever sang this here, but I've heard it sang in the Brotherhood, comes from number 597. Number 597. Or excuse me, 579. Does that make me dyslexic if I look at two numbers backwards? 579. Every time I feel the Spirit, the title says enough, doesn't it not? Every time I feel the Spirit, note the first and second stanzas there. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart. Friends, that's Calvinistic doctrine. Calvinists believe that God chooses an elect who's going to go to heaven and that the Spirit literally moves on those individuals and they cannot reject the Spirit on them and the Spirit guides them to God. This idea in this particular song, the Spirit moving in my heart, does not align with what the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit is responsible for giving God's message to mankind. And the way in which God communicates to us today, the way in which we are drawn to God today, is not through a literal indwelling of the Spirit, but rather as we read and study from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. As we read and study from the Scripture, then we're able to draw faith. Romans 10 and verse 17, so then our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's based out of our reading, understanding, and our heart being pricked, and understanding through belief, and also coming to realize our state of being lost, is that we are drawn to God, not through a guiding of the Spirit, but rather based out of the way in which God has composed each and every one of us, that all then, whosoever will, may come. I hope that as we've looked at all these questions that maybe have been able to answer them with book, chapter, and verse, as we've looked at the songs, understand we've got to be careful also, while I've looked at three tonight, we've got to be careful also about nitpicking songs to pieces because the songs are not inspired. The Scripture is inspired. And therefore, we've got to make sure that as we look at the songs, we're always going to find a little this or a little that. From time to time, it might demand that we change the lyrics completely or a word or two in order for that song to be properly correct. But still, the truth of the matter is that there are some songs, I believe, like the first one especially, or maybe even the second one, well, all three of them I'm going to go with tonight, that we've looked at. I don't see any way you can restructure those and be able to stay within the confines of true New Testament Christianity. Why is it important for us to have scriptural songs? Because we teach and we admonish through our song service. And especially with kids, well, maybe not just with kids, all of us are kind of like this way. How many in here remember the alphabet song from when you were a kid? Songs stick in our head more than, how many in here can tell me what I preached the first Sunday of January? You're going to hurt my feelings. I do well to remember myself from time to time. It's hard for us to remember things that we are taught or even things that we read. but we'll hang on to songs. And therefore, those songs, we've got to make sure that we're committing to our service, and the songs that we're committing to our minds and to the minds even of our children who will grow up and hopefully serve the Lord, is that these songs are in line with God's Word continually.